Bipolar Moisture.
Hey everybody, welcome to the first episode of the Bipolar Way podcast. This podcast was formerly known as Bipolar Nation. So if you're listening to this on the Bipolar Nation feed, what you're going to need to do is kick over to your iTunes or your aggregator or however you get your podcast and search for Bipolar Way and subscribe to that feed, as the Bipolar Nation feed will no longer be updated because of the fact that, well, you know, I want to go ahead and change the name, rebrand, regroup, and go in a new direction with this particular podcast. So this is the first episode of the Bipolar Way. If you're just now joining us, what we're going to do here is we're going to be talking about bipolar disorder. We're going to be talking about how it affects people's lives. We're going to be talking about some of the things it does for us, some things it does to us. Talk a little bit about medication, about coping skills, about just whatever in general comes up and is a concern for us we're going to cover. Where we may even talk about, like, you know, pop culture stuff and things like that, just to kind of, you know, have an understanding and a grip for, you know, how bipolarism, someone's going to slap me for saying that, by how bipolar disorder affects us in our life. So that's what we're going to be doing. You can email me. My name is Joe. I'm the host here. And you can email me at bipolarway@yahoo.com. And I would love to get a message from you, so shoot some off to me if you have any questions about the show, suggestions on things we should do, or anything like that. So, yeah, definitely send me off a message or two if you would like. Today, since this is the first episode, let's talk a little bit about what bipolar is. So, bipolar is the same disease that was once known as manic depression. Okay, so some of y'all might be familiar with manic depression. Some of you might be familiar with bipolar. It's an emotional disorder that causes extreme mood swings and things. You have times where you experience your mania, and then you swing until you feel times when you feel depression. Now, everybody's bipolar is a little different. Not everyone is the same. Now, a lot of things that happen to me may not happen to you. You may not have the same problems with the manic side, or you may not have the same problems with the depressed side. You know, we are all unique in our own flavor, so, you know, you can't go by me as saying for sure absolute guide is what's going on. I'm just going to give you a rough estimate as to what the common perception is. Okay, so when you're experiencing mania, some of the signs of mania are increased energy, which means you have a decreased need for sleep. You don't get fatigued as long. You're high energy. You're able to work or do your activity or whatever and really just keep going and going like a machine almost. You increase your activities, you start doing more things, getting more things done, and you find yourself increasingly restless. Like, you sit down and you're like, oh man, I gotta do something, I'm gonna go do something. I need a project, I gotta go clean something, I gotta go build something, I gotta go fix something, I gotta go do something. That kind of thing. That restlessness is also a sign of the mania. Speech disruptions during mania. You have rapid, pressured speech, and that's something you will probably hear me do several times. Because a lot of time when I do these podcasts, I get kind of excited. And even though it's been 60, 70 shows, and I've done almost 200 shows in podcasting in general, I still get a little wound up when I podcast. So you probably will hear me have a little bit of pressure speech at times. You'll also probably hear me have incoherent speech at times, where I'm trying to say something that makes no sense. Clang associations are also known, which occur with other mental conditions as well. Let's go ahead and double check here. I didn't notice that, or I would have already had it opened. Let's look at what it means by clang associations. That way we can have some clarity upon this issue. A clang association, or psychic associations resulting from sounds, often observed in the manic phase of the manic depressive psychosis. In simpler terms, clang associations are groupings of words based on their sound, generally rhyming or partially rhyming without necessarily having any logic or reason to put together. Some examples would be, imagine the words systematic, sympathetic, quite pathetic, apologetic, paramedic, your heart is prosthetic. Okay, now that was from about.com on their bipolar disorder section. Okay. Okay, so that's where that come from. Impaired judgment caused by mania. Back to our list here, you have lack of insight, which means, you know, you want to go do something, but you can't really see the consequences of that action. Inappropriate humor and behaviors. That's another big one that comes up. When you start just getting real, I'm looking for a nice word to say. You get just dirty-minded, I guess. That can oftentimes be a sign of a mania. And you start becoming preoccupied with that kind of thought. Impulsiveness, both, actually, let's just go with the money impulsiveness. Like, impulse buying. You do things, impulse eating, buying, things like that. You just grab it, and you do it, and you don't even think about it, and you don't know why you did it, you just did it. It's like an impulse. It just grabs you, and you do it, and it's done and over with. Financial extravagance. That means having a champagne and caviar budget on a beer and crackers diet. I mean, on your beer and crackers budget, you know. So, you know, when you start going blowing money on things way beyond your means, or start trying to live way beyond your means, and, you know, you're experiencing some of the financial extravagance, that may be a warning sign for mania. Grandiose thinking that you are God, thinking that you are a prophet of God, thinking that you have a special job on this world beyond the normal understanding that we all have a place thing. But I mean, you know, feeling like you are the chosen one. You know, if you start going, I am the chosen one, well, then you probably have grandiose thinking. And then hypersexuality becomes a real problem during mania, and that means having sex with anything that will stay still long enough to do it. That means engaging in extremely risky sexual behaviors and not having any caring for the consequences of your actions. You may become extremely aroused and need to have sex either with multiple partners or extreme multiple times, you know, in a short time period or what have you. But either way, you're still looking at just being basically obsessed with sex. So that's also a sign of the mania. Some of the changes in thought patterns due to mania is you're distractible. It's easy to pull your attention away. You're creative. You have creative thinking. Sometimes it's easier to be creative whenever you're manic. Of course, it's hard to do anything with it because you have a hard time focusing. But flight of ideas, and that's just a rapid fire of things where, you know, you're sitting there and you're like, you know, I could fix the world's taxes, the parking lot at the Piggly Wiggly, the way shoes are designed, and make a better fly catcher for the whole world. You know, this all comes, you know, not ideas that aren't related to each other, but just fly through your head all of a sudden. Disorientation. It's where you're looking around going, what is going on? Because your mind is running so fast, you're no longer in sync with what's going on around you, and the world kind of gives you, kind of looks a little strange to you. And then, of course, racing thoughts. And that's where you just think a lot and you think really fast. And they just keep coming at you like a battering ram. It's like a race car going round and round the track. You know, it's like a buzzing in your head. It's so annoying. I really have a problem with racing thoughts. So the mood changes we see in mania is irritability. Now, that's a misunderstanding. A lot of people think mania is a happy thing. Not always. Mania can be a very mad thing, too. Irritability and hostility are two things that are very commonly tied to mania. Excitability, which is, of course, like the giggling schoolgirls, what we all think of when we think mania. And the feelings of exhilaration, you know, those kind of fit the common mold. But there is another side to that coin, and that is irritability and hostility. So if somebody's grumbling and just walking around with a chip on their shoulders, it's possible they could be experiencing mania. It's possible they could be experiencing something else, too. But it is not necessarily... It does not rule out mania exclusively. Psychoses that are associated with mania, you have a hallucination that are not present in the lesser forms of mania, like hypomania. Delusions that are not present in hypomania, and paranoia that are not present in hypomania. You know, and increased religious activities. And that's anytime people get manic, they seem to also turn to God a lot. Seems to be very common for, even though you're doing all these other weird things, you know, lots of sex, lots of blowing money, but lots of house cleaning and lots of praying. You know, it's really, there's no rhyme or reason to it sometimes. That's why mania can be so hard on us, is because it's not like it's so all over the place, and it's so hard that it's hard to make sense of it all. I mean, I know when I go through mania, it's you know, I work hard on my other podcast. I do a religious podcast, and I really work hard on it whenever I'm in a manic phase, but I'm also still feeling bad because all of a sudden I'm dealing with the hypersexuality, and I'm dealing with irritability and hostility, which are both things that are condoned by my particular religion. I'm a Christian, and we don't believe in hostility. You know, we're not supposed to, you know, love thy neighbors in the book I read, and I'm still like, I'm hostile. It's not very loving, you know. So it becomes a very difficult thing to live through because of the fact that it is so much different, and it's so much just opposites, opposing ends smashing together sometimes. So that's a good idea of what mania is like. Now let's look at depression. One of the good examples of depression, symptoms of depression is changes in activity or energy level. Now just like mania, we went up, we went crazy, we started doing all kinds of stuff. And by depression, we're going to decrease energy. We're fatigued, we're lethargic, we're diminished. We're either insomniac or hypersomniac. You know, you don't sleep at all or sleep too much. Loss of interest in pleasurable activities. That's a good way to see it. It's the difference between being lazy and being depressed. Depression creates symptoms that appear like laziness to normal people, but they're not. They are, it's part of the depression, and it's a big deal. And if you start having these symptoms where you don't feel like doing anything, and the things that really rock your world don't do it for you anymore, and you know you need to start being on the lookout to seeing somebody because you're experiencing some major depression. Like for me, I happen to be, strangely enough, I mean, I talk about being religious, but I'm also a geek hardcore. I'm a computer game geek and a Star Wars nerd like you wouldn't believe. And the day I don't want to watch Star Wars or talk about Star Wars or ask, you know, trivia questions about Star Wars is a day you can tell I'm probably depressed, because pretty much any time in my life otherwise, I'll watch Star Wars, I'll talk about Star Wars, I'll go over anything you want to do with Star Wars, you know. So, and then social withdrawal, of course, if you're tired and sleepy or fatigued and don't want to do anything, you're not going to want to go anywhere and hang out with anybody. So you know, that's another common symptom of social withdrawal. Now some of the physical changes we can see caused by depression are aches and pains. Yes, you physically hurt when you're depressed. It is not uncommon for you to have physical pains from depression. Weight loss or weight gain. Decreased or increased appetite. Either you don't eat at all or you eat too much. A lot of that's an either or thing, but that's in there. You have agitation. Movement habit, agitation sometimes is involved with it. Emotional pain or depression includes prolonged sadness, unexplained, uncontrollable crying, feelings of guilt, feelings of worthlessness. Now this is ringing bells, I think, for a lot of us. Loss of self-esteem, despair, hopelessness, and helplessness. I mean, that just sounds like somebody's talking directly to me, I think. You know, I mean, I don't have as much trouble with the uncontrollable crying, although that does happen sometimes. You feel guilty about everything. It's like, I can't do this, I can't do that, I feel horrible, you know, and then you feel worthless. It's like, I try to do this podcast, and not only to help you guys, but also to help me, because it gives me something to feel like I've done, that I have value and meaning for, that somebody actually cares about, you know. This is how I fight off hopelessness and helplessness. By saying, you know what, I may not have but a few hundred or a few thousand listeners, but hey, you know, at least somebody cares. At least I have value. I've done something. I made the world a little bit of a better place instead of being stuck. You know, so this is how I've chosen to fight my demons of helplessness and hopelessness. And there's lots of ways you can do it. You can speak out publicly. You can write books. You can do poetry. You can draw. You can play music. You know, you can do whatever you're good at. Difficult moods associated with depression is irritability and anger. So see, those are both common. That's the really confusing part sometimes, is that anger and hostility can both be a manic thing and a depressed thing. Now, worried and anxiety, pessimism, indifference, and self-criticalness. If everything's your fault, then you're probably going through a depression. usually in mania, if something's wrong, it's somebody else's fault. Well, I'm perfect, I'm great, you know, I'm the emissary of God, and you're wrong. You know, when something happens in a depression, and you say, oh, I never was good anyway. You pull the Eeyore syndrome, as my wife calls it, and it's probably you. It's probably depression, I mean. You know, so that might be able to tell you some differences. When they're upset or irritated, ask about, you know, check about the guilt factor. See, you know, ask a question that would indicate whether or not they're, you know, feeling worthless about themselves, or if they're feeling overly, you know, grandiose about themselves. Because if they blame you, well, then they're manic. They blame themselves, well, so they're depressed. I mean, that's just kind of a rule of thumb there, because the manic people have a tendency to have, you know, be irritable but with higher self-esteem, whereas depressed is irritable with lower self-esteem. Okay, changes in thought patterns due to depression, the inability to concentrate, indecision, memory problems. If you forget things a lot, that could be a sign of depression. And disorganization, where I have a hard time just getting everything put together and taken care of. Preoccupations of death, with thoughts of death, suicidal ideation, feeling dead or detached. Although in my experience, I will say this, I'm not going to say that these experts on these websites are wrong, but I will say that my experience is that mania is more likely to inspire suicidal feelings than depression is. Suicidal depression is more like, I wish if I wasn't so worthless, I would do it. You know, it's not really, I wish I could die, but I'm not going to do anything to make it happen because I'm not worth it. Whereas when I'm manic, it can be too much, it can be too noisy, and then, I mean, I actually am more afraid of being manic and having a suicidal episode during mania than I am during depression, because during depression I'm probably pretty safe. During mania, that's a whole other story. Alright, let's look at some red flags for suicide. Situational indicators for suicide is the loss of a relationship by rejection or separation. You know, breaking up, things like that. Death of a loved one, diagnosis of a terminal illness, loss of financial security, a change in appearance, loss of employment, loss of self-esteem, and abuse. You know, those are all kind of things that can kind of cause the suicide in people. Now, the emotional indicators are depression, hopelessness, and helplessness. Now, those are three big things that come back to what we're talking about. Hope, these things, you know, they're indicating that depression is very dangerous here, and I'm not going to say they're not. I'm saying, you know, sure, yeah, I bet it is. But I'm saying that my experience is that I get more problems out of mania, so do not dismiss somebody just because they're manic and acting like they're going to be suicidal. You should be taken just as seriously then, too. Anytime anyone threatens suicide, mentally ill or not, it needs to be taken seriously. They're trying to say something, and we need to be listening. Okay, so, here's some behavioral indicators to look out for suicide. If you have somebody who's bipolar and starts doing some of these things, you may need to start watching out. In fact, if you have anybody start doing some of these things, you might want to watch out. Things like acquiring a weapon, hoarding medication, putting affairs in order, making her will, increasing interest in suicide, giving away personal belongings, mending grievances, checking out insurance policies, and withdrawing from people. So if they don't want to see their friends, and they're giving all their stuff away, and they just bought a handgun, you better watch out. Now, verbal indicators. People will say things like, I wish I was dead. I wish I had the nerve to kill myself. I wish I could die in my sleep. If this weren't for my kids or my husband, I would commit suicide. Those things need to be taken seriously. You need to get these people help, be seen by somebody with a professional, you know, the professional ability to evaluate them, and get them taken care of. Hints come along the lines of, I hate life, why do I bother, I can't take it anymore, and nothing matters anymore. So when you see those things, you need to start looking at maybe making sure that you can get these people in to see somebody where they can be properly diagnosed and treated if they need it. All right, finally, let's go ahead and look at some early onset bipolar disorder symptoms. These are things that come on earlier in life. A lot of times, bipolar seems to trigger either in adolescence or at menopause, depending upon the person. I mean, it can trigger anywhere in between at any time, but it seems to be most common and adolescence and menopause. That's because there's both those two time periods are very large changes in your life, right? Now, obviously, men don't go through menopause, not quite the same way women do, but men, adolescents, we have all this changing of chemicals and stuff going on. Women got all the changes going on too. And then in menopause, women also go through another major chemistry change in their bodies, and things get different and things change. And either one of those situations can trigger bipolar disorder. So if you have a child and you're worried about having, if they're bipolar or not, which like I personally am, I have a child and I'm worried that she too has got the disease. So here's what we're looking out for. We're looking out for separation anxiety, rages and explosive temper tantrums, especially if they last over several hours, marked irritability, oppositional behavior, frequent mood swings, distractibility, hyperactivity, impulsivity, restlessness, silly goofiness or giddiness, racing thoughts, aggressive behavior, grandiosity, carbohydrate cravings, risk-taking behaviors, depressed mood, lethargy, low self-esteem, difficult getting up in the morning, social anxiety, oversensitivity to emotional or environmental triggers. Okay, now, let me get rid of my cat here. I'm trying to attack the keyboard. Here's some common symptoms of early onset bipolar disorder. Bedwetting, especially in boys. Night terrors. Rapid or pressured speech. Obsessional behavior. Excessive daydreaming. Compulsive behavior. Motor and vocal tics. Learning disabilities. Poor short-term memory. Lack of organization. Fascination with gore or morbid topics. Hypersexuality. Manipulative behavior. Bossiness. Lying. Suicidal thoughts. Destruction of property, paranoia, hallucinations, and delusions. Okay. Less common early onsets are migraines, binging, self-mutilation, and cruelty to animals. So when you start seeing any of those things in your family, you need to go ahead and have them checked out. You know, I think I might have my daughter checked out too. Because I was about 14 when mine triggered. 14 to 15 is when mine started. About the time I was 17, first time I was diagnosed, I was pretty full blown and pretty bad. And now it's really bad. You know. But I'm doing the medication mambo. I'm getting pretty close. I'm taking me some lithium and some stuff and some of that Abilify stuff, and we're seeing how it works. It seems to be coming a whole lot closer than we have been. So at least there's a positive there. But, yeah, a lot of those things they're talking about there, I had a lot of those problems too. I had the outbursts when I was a kid, rapid speech. I still have rapid speech. Obsessional. I'm an obsessive collector, almost a hoarder, almost. But I collect. Once I decide to collect something, I gotta have a mono kind of thing, which means, boy, howdy, Pokemon kills me. You know, I have to put that stuff down because otherwise I go crazy. I didn't have any learning disability. I had actually I did have a learning disability, as in the fact that I learned extremely well to the point to where it was almost impossible for the teachers to keep up. So. I mean, in a way, I mean, it was a wonderful thing to have, but it makes school so much easier, and I'm very grateful for it. But it was an abnormal learning condition. So, you see what else did I have? I still have motor tics all the time. I have this weird thing in my shoulder, so. Excessive daydreaming, yeah, I did that a lot. But yeah, so, you know, bipolar disorder can be hit at any time in life. So we need to, as parents, we need to watch out for our children. And then if later on in life, you know, just watch your friends and your family or whatever, because it can hit in the middle of life too. It doesn't have to necessarily be at puberty and at menopause. Now, some myths and facts about bipolar. The myth is that people with bipolar disorder can't get better or lead a normal life. And that's just wrong, because there are a lot of people with this bipolar disorder that have successful careers, happy lives, satisfying relationships. Now, living with it is challenging. Bipolar disorder can be a hard thing to live with, but with treatment, coping skills, and a solid support system, you can be just about as close to being a normie as possible. And that's what I call, if you're out there with no bipolar or whatever, you're a normie. We're going to call you a normie. So you can be as normal, I guess you could say, as possible by living with those things, by having those things, support system, coping skills, treatment. you know, you have those things, and you can live a normal, happy life. Because, I mean, everybody has emotions. It's not like we're trying to out-emotion everybody, you know. We're not trying to medicate away all of our emotions. You know, what we're trying to do is make it to where we have the same emotional range as everyone else. You know, to where we have proper emotions, but not emotions to the point that it prevents, you know, it makes us unable to cope. Myth: people with bipolar disorder swing back and forth between mania and depression. Now, the fact is, some people alternate between extreme episodes of mania and depression. That is true. But most are depressed more often than they are manic. Mania may also be so mild that it goes unrecognized. People with bipolar disorder can also go for long stretches without symptoms. It depends on who you are. Some people can go years sometimes without having a real major mood swing. And then some people like me seem to be in the constant mood swing all the time. I mean, I'm one of those people to where I am constantly not in a position to be able to be normal. I can't. I'm overly affected by my emotions at all times. You know, but there are people who are only affected once every so often by emotion. And with treatment, they're even able to keep that down even lower or whatever. You know, me with treatment, I'm able to have brief periods of time where I'm actually stable. Otherwise, I'm unstable pretty much all the time. Myth: bipolar disorder only affects mood. Okay, the fact is, bipolar disorder also affects your energy level, judgment, memory, concentration, appetite, sleep patterns, sex drive, and self-esteem. Additionally, bipolar disorder has been linked to anxiety, substance abuse, and health problems such as diabetes, heart disease, migraines, and high blood pressure. It affects your whole body. Myth: aside from taking medication, there's nothing you can do to control bipolar disorder. The fact is while medication is the foundation of bipolar disorder treatment, therapy and self-help strategies play an important role. You can help control your symptoms by exercising regularly, getting enough sleep, eating right, monitoring your moods, keeping stress to a minimum, and surrounding yourself with supportive people. So yeah, you can do things to help it. You know, you can learn to say, I'm gonna let this go. I'm gonna not overreact. I'm not gonna react in a way that I think is bad. I'm just gonna let this go. And with some practice and some techniques, you can do it. So that's how we go with the bipolar disorder. So I think that is a pretty good start for our podcast today. Bringing us in about 30 minutes, so I'm absolutely loving it. So yeah, like I say, welcome to Bipolar Way, and we're going to get better as it goes along. We're going to shake things up here, and we're going to try to make a go of this thing. So I really appreciate having all y'all along. Email me, joe@bipolarway@yahoo.com, and I guess until next time, my friends, I wish you all much peace and stability.